The scripture reading this morning is from John, 2nd chapter, verses 1 through 11, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. When the wine ran out, Jesus' mother said to him, "They don't have any wine." Jesus replied, "Woman, what does that have to do with me? My time hasn't come yet." His mother told the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby were six stone jars used for the Jewish cleansing ritual, each able to hold about 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water," and they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some from them and take it to the head waiter." And they did. The head waiter tasted the water that had become wine. He didn't know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the groom and said, "Everyone serves the good wine first. They bring out the second-rate wine only when the guests are drinking freely. You kept the good wine until now." This was the first miraculous sign that Jesus did in Cana of Galilee. He revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thus ends the reading.
We all have different perceptions of things, don't we? One night, a wife found her husband standing over their infant's crib. As he watched him, he looked down at his young baby with excitement, joy, happiness was across his face. His wife walked up to him and she placed her arm ever so gently around his waist. And she said, "A penny for your thoughts." And him being the husband, he says, "You know, it amazes me how they can build a crib like that for $46.50. Anybody ever been on a roller coaster? Roller coasters are fun, aren't they? No. As you get on a roller coaster, you know, you stand there and you walk up and you approach this roller coaster and you see it, you know, and you're watching and it's diving and it's whipping and it's turning and you're hearing people scream and you're like, ooh. And your friends just keep pushing you on. And as you get closer to the line, you're like, ooh, ooh. And you're standing there with so much anxiety and stuff, but you got that nervous laughter, you know. This is going to be nothing for me, except for if you're 6'6", and they say, "You're too tall." I have that same problem, Sam. They won't let me on those rides either. But, you know, as you're standing there in them lines and you got all that anxiety and things, the fear starts to, you know, to kind of percolate in you a little bit, and you're nervous. Then it comes your time, and you step up there to the front, and you get in the car. And every person, my family, I tell you, I'm a people watcher. So every person I've ever seen get on a roller coaster immediately does this. They look down, and they check the safety restraints to make sure that the 17-year-old pimply-faced kid was really working that day. Making sure the safety restraint was really connected in the proper spot. Now, the roller coasters that I've been on before, they have that electronic release. The same 17-year-old pimply-faced kid goes over and pushes the button, and this restraint comes down in front of you. And the person sitting there in the car will immediately go, and they want to make sure, I know, Angie, making sure it's still there. I've got the safety strap. I've got the rail. I'm ready for it to happen. Then all of a sudden, you start hearing the clicking of those wheels. The butterflies start churning a little bit more. You're like, whoo. As you go up that first hill, and you're looking around, you're going, wow, who thought up this crazy idea? And then you start to question the engineer's abilities on designing this roller coaster that looks like it's going to throw you to your early demise. Once you get to the top of that hill, you're thinking, okay, here it is. Here it is. Safety restraints on there, good. The bar's in place, and You know, some people hold on to the bar at this point. Knuckles start to whiten and they grip on as tight as they possibly can. And that car gets to the very top. And what does it do? It stops. It's like, who thought of that idea? What kind of crazy person thought of that? Then you get up there and all of a sudden it goes, and you go zipping over the top of that first hill. Now the first hill is the most important in a roller coaster because that's what gives it all the energy so it can go all the way through there. So you really want that hill to be extra high because you want to make sure when you get mid-loop about halfway through your ride that it doesn't decide to stop. You want that inertia. You want the fat guy in the front to make sure things are carrying you through there. So when you get through that ride, you're screaming. Some people, like Dave said, got his hands up. They're free for the ride. Woohoo! Let's go! Ah! Others are sitting there screaming. You know, I watched a program the other day where this guy was screaming at his girlfriend, "You did this! You did this to me!" And he's trying to look manly and he's crying. And it's like, wow, you broke up soon after, huh? But as they go whipping through that ride, the excitement's there, the energy's there, and then all of a sudden, as quick as it starts, is as quick as it ends. Your roller coaster goes, and you come through that final turn, and you see the starting gate there, right? The same 17-year-old pimply-faced kid standing there ready to tell you, "Thanks for coming, get off," so the next victim can get on, and it's over. You get off that ride, and all that nervous energy you had before now becomes joyous, and your laughter, and you're really experiencing the whole ride again because you're telling your friends how cool it was, how great it was. And if you go to these big major theme parks, you have to go to the picture booth because at some point along the way, there was a picture of you going, ah, screaming with your mouth wide open and going, oh, I'm going to die. Have to go see that. Today's story is the same way, folks. Today's story, the wedding feast at Cana. Biblical scholars search for the city of Cana for 1,800 years before they located it. It's that small. That small. 1,800 years of searching to be able to find this place. Then they find it, and we find out this is the first miracle of Jesus. This was really the start of his ministry. Now, a lot of us that, you know, abstain from alcohol and things like that, we're like, he made wine? What kind of miracle is that? The point that he's pointing out to everyone in this is, let's keep the party going. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated the high point of Easter. The high point where churches everywhere fill up. Today, we see empty seats. We see people the week after Easter still got some of that excitement. They're still on the ride. Now the ride's over. Easter's the letdown. The final turn. And it shouldn't be because we look at the party that happened at the wedding feast where Jesus turned the good wine loose. We need to experience that during this time, we're going to take roller coasters, we're going to take the wedding feast at Cana, and Easter. We're going to put them all together today. As we look at the excitement of building up to the roller coaster ride, as we get ready to go on that ride, we can really experience Ash Wednesday. Our spiritual roller coaster was getting ready to start for many of us because a lot of us, we gave up something for Lent, right? We gave it up. Chocolate, soda, this or that, whatever you gave up. And then you start the countdown of the 40 days of how long I have to do without this. And you have the misery that goes along with that, the anxiety of what you'd really like to experience, but you can't because you've pledged to Jesus to do something for him. You're going to sacrifice something for him. When really, we should really look at it and think, Jesus did something more, so we should do something more for somebody else, but we do it in reverse because, well, we're people. We make those mistakes. So if we look at that anxiety of getting ready to go to that ride, we see what's going to happen on that ride. We can see the roller coaster as we walk up to it. The only place you can't see it is Space Mountain. But you walk up there to that roller coaster and you see what's going to happen, but you still get on. we have the luxury of looking at the Bible, and we can read the Bible and see that we know what's going to go on during this spiritual roller coaster ride of Holy Sabbath. And as we continue to watch, we get on that ride with anxiety on Ash Wednesday. And as it starts to click up, that clicking, that click, 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 click of each one of the wheels gets you higher and higher and higher, and that gets you deeper and deeper into Lent. And as you're at that point where you're at the very top, everything stalls, and it's called Holy Week. That's a time to really focus on, why am I on this ride? Why am I experiencing this ride? Is it because of the celebration that I came to the wedding party? Or was it to see the beautiful bride or the groom walk down that aisle and them start a new life? Or was it the celebration? Same reason we do the whole Easter thing. We come for the celebration. We don't come for the crucifixion. We come for the celebration, the empty tomb. As that roller coaster peaks over the top and we drop down that first hill that we see our demise, we actually can experience Good Friday. If you really experience the life of Christ, you can experience the anxiety when he's in the garden and he's praying and he's pleading, God, please, please take this from me. But he surrendered his hands, threw them up in the air and screamed, woohoo, let's go. Let's get this party rolling. As he whips through the roller coaster of ending of his life and the beginning of our lives, we can experience the joy of the celebration of Easter. Comes Easter, we see a whole lot of the CNEers, those people that every now and again will ride the roller coaster. Those people that experience it only twice a year, three times if they come on Mother's Day. They don't know the excitement that's there in that roller coaster ride. They're not going to be able to experience that when it's over and you step out on that platform with your friends and your family and you can laugh and share them stories and giggle about how much this spiritual roller coaster ride you've been on has been such a blessing and how much fun it's been. The empty tomb was the start of the party, was the start of the wedding feast, folks, the start of the wine, the good wine being shared, the joyous times. We can't let that joyous time end. We should always be in a state of celebration for Christ. The tomb was defeated. 2 weeks later, we look around at churches all over the world, and attendance diminishes. I laugh at preachers who celebrate, well, on Easter, we had three services. Well, you should have three services every week. We had 275 people in attendance. Well, bully for you. Where are they at now? Are they missing the ride? Are they missing the wedding party? Are they missing that joyous life of Jesus and his bride, the church, celebrating a new start, a new reality, a new adventure? So I challenge you, when you look at the roller coaster, realize it's your life. Just like Dave, throw your hands up in the air, shout, scream, holler, and celebrate it all the way through the turns, through the pitfalls, and trust that the real engineer built this ride for you. He built it for you to experience everything. And he can't wait till you get back to the terminal so you can share the stories and the laughter and you can gather at the photo booth and see that big smile on your face. One way we can continue to experience the true ride we're on is through Holy Communion. During Holy Communion, we get to experience all of what Jesus came and did, and how he continues to bless us daily in our lives. as we prepare for this roller coaster today, come to the table not with remorse, but with joy. If you've fallen short in your life and experiencing the good times, today's the day to reconnect. You're back in the line. You're ready to go on another trip, another whip, another turn, another experience. Throw your hands up in the air. Celebrate that Christ did this for you. Please join me in Holy Communion. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together and ride this roller coaster together, Lord. We thank you that your Son came and proclaimed the joy of it all. Lord, as we leave this house today, I ask you to bless us, to help us remember that we should celebrate good times and bad. Allow us to remember the anxiety that we experience walking up on this ride and the joy that we have going all the way through it. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray today. Amen.